The Lord tells Jeremiah about two prophets who are prophesying falsely in the name of the Lord. One is named Ahab and the other is Zedekiah. Now neither of these were kings, they were both prophets. And the Lord says to Jeremiah, "Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and he will kill them before your eyes." Because of Ahab and Zedekiah and their deaths over in Babylon, a curse will be used that says, "May the Lord make you like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire, because they have acted foolishly and have committed adultery with their neighbors, with their wives, and with the name of the Lord." The Lord tells Jeremiah to speak to Shemaiah, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have sent letters in your own name to all the people who are in Jerusalem, and to Zephaniah the priest, and to all the priests, saying that the Lord has made you priest instead of Joadiah the priest, to be the overseer of the house of the Lord over every madman who prophesies, to put him in the stocks and in the iron collar. Now then, have you not rebuked Jeremiah who prophesies to you?" For Shemaiah has said that Jeremiah had told them in Babylon to go into exile and to build houses and to live in them and to plant gardens and to eat their produce. Well, the Lord said to Jeremiah, "Send to all the exiles and say this, thus says the Lord concerning Shemaiah, because Shemaiah has prophesied to you, although I did not send him, and he has made you to trust in a lie, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am about to punish Shemaiah and his descendants, and he will not have anyone living among the people, and he will not see the good that I am about to do to my people. Write all these words which I have spoken to you in a book, Jeremiah, for the days are coming when I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel and Judah. I will also bring them back to the land that I gave to their forefathers, and they shall possess it. Why have all the people's faces turned pale?" the Lord asked. "Alas, for that day is great. There is none like it. And it will be a time of distress, but Judah and Jacob will be saved from it. They shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. For I am with you, declares the Lord, to save you, for I will destroy completely all the nations where I have scattered you, only I will not destroy you completely. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. They will come out and shout for joy on the height of Zion, and they will be radiant over the bounty of the Lord, over the grain and over the new wine and over the oil and over the young of the flock and the herd, and their life will be like a watered garden, and they will never languish again. For I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them and give them joy for their sorrow." So the Lord says, "A voice is heard in Ramah, lamentations and bitter weeping, because Rachel is weeping for her children." The Lord says, "Restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded. There is hope for your future. And in those days, they will not say again, 'The fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge.' For every one who dies will die for his own iniquity. Each man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth will be put on edge. Behold, days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the days when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, although I was a husband to them. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again, each man his own neighbor and each man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will forgive their sins, and they will be remembered no more. Who gives the sun for light by day and fixes the order of the moon and the stars by light at night? Who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar? The Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order departs from before me, then the offspring of Israel also will cease from being a nation before me forever. If the heavens above can be measured, and if the foundations of the earth searched out below, then I will also cast off the offspring of Israel, for all that they have done. Now in the fourth year of Zedekiah, the Lord reminds Jeremiah of what happened with Pharaoh Necho, the king of Egypt, when he had gone up to the Euphrates River at Carchemish, where Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, defeated him in the fourth year of Jehoiakim. The prophecy about Egypt goes like this: "They have stumbled and fallen. Who is this?" The prophecy is against Egypt because the Lord has sent Nebuchadnezzar to smite the king of Egypt with a sword. Jeremiah prophesies against the Philistines. He prophesies against the cities of Tyre and Sidon. He prophesies also against Moab, for Moab will be no longer, and Moab will soon come to an end, and the calamity will be swift. Jeremiah then prophesies against Ammon, but the Lord says, "Not long after, I will restore the fortunes of Ammon." Then Jeremiah prophesies concerning Edom, and the Lord says, "Is there no longer any wisdom in Timna? Has good counsel been lost to the prudent? Has their wisdom decayed? Flee away, turn back, dwell in the depths, O inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the disaster of Esau upon him at the time that I punish him. Edom will become an object of horror. Everyone who passes by it will be horrified and will hiss at its wounds. And like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah with its neighbors, the Lord says, no one will live there, nor will a son of man reside in it." He then prophesies against Damascus, "For a fire will be set in Damascus to devour its fortified towers." Then the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah concerning Elam. And the Lord says, "Behold, I am going to break the bow of Elam, the finest of their might, and I will bring upon Elam the four winds from the four ends of the heavens, and will scatter them to all the winds, and there will be no nation to which the outcast of Elam's will be able to go." Jeremiah then prophesies against Babylon and the whole land of the Chaldeans. He says, "Babylon has been captured, Baal has been put to shame. For a nation has come up against her out of the north, and it will make her land an object of horror, and there will be no inhabitants in it. And in those days and at that time, the sons of Israel will come, both they and the sons of Judah as well, and they will go along weeping as they go, and it will be the Lord their God that they will seek. And they will ask for the way back to Zion, and their faces will turn in that direction. And they will come that they may join themselves to the Lord in an everlasting covenant that will not ever be forgotten. For behold, I am going to arouse and bring up against Babylon a horde of great nations from the land of the north. And they will draw up their battle lines against her. Chaldea will become plunder. All who plunder her will have enough. Therefore her young men will fall in the streets, and all her men of war will be silenced in that day. At the shout, 'Babylon has been seized, the earth is shaken,' and an outcry is heard among the nations, and I will dispatch foreigners to Babylon that they may winnow her and may devastate her land, for on every side they will be opposed to her in the day of her calamity. Babylon will become a heap of ruins, a haunt of jackals, an object of horror and hissing without inhabitants. Indeed, Babylon is to fall for the slain of Israel. From me, destroyers will come to her, for the Lord is going to destroy Babylon." Then the Lord speaks to Jeremiah about Sariah, who went with King Zedekiah to Babylon in the fourth year of Zedekiah's reign. So Jeremiah writes in a single scroll all the calamity which is going to come upon Babylon, which we've spoken about, and all the words which have been just told to Jeremiah concerning Babylon, and he gives that scroll that he prepares to Sarai and tells him, as soon as you get to Babylon, you read these words aloud. And when he gets there, he is to say, "You, O Lord, have promised concerning this place to cut it off, so that there will be nothing dwelling in it, whether a man or a beast, but it will be a perpetual desolation. And as soon as you finish reading the scroll, you will tie a stone to it and throw it into the middle of the Euphrates and say, 'Just so shall Babylon sink down and not rise again because of all the calamity that I am going to bring upon her,' and they will become exhausted." Now Zedekiah the king sends Pashur and Zephaniah over to Jeremiah and asks Jeremiah to inquire on the Lord for the behalf of Zedekiah and the southern kingdom. because Nebuchadnezzar is warring against them. And he says, perhaps the Lord will deal with us according to all his wonderful acts, so that the enemy will withdraw from us. But Jeremiah says to Pashur and Zephaniah, you go back to Zedekiah and tell him these words, for thus says the Lord, I am about to turn back the weapons of war which are in your hands, with which you are warring against the king of Babylon and the Chaldeans who are besieging you outside the wall. And I will gather them into the center of this city. I myself will war against you with an outstretched hand and a mighty man, even in anger and wrath and great indignation. I will also strike down the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast, and they will die of a great pestilence. I will give over Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants, and the people, even those who survive in this city, from the pestilence, and the sword, and the famine, and the hand of the Lord, into Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. He will strike them down at the edge of the sword, and he will not spare them, nor have pity, nor have compassion. For I have set my face against this city for harm, and not for good. It will be given into the hands of the king of Babylon, and he will burn it with fire. 5 years, 4 months, and 5 days after Nebuchadnezzar removed Jehoiachin from Judah and put Zedekiah on the throne, the Lord speaks to Ezekiel the priest, who is living in exile by the Chebar River. Because he is a priest, he is over 30 years of age when the Lord speaks to him. The Lord approaches Ezekiel in a whirlwind, coming from the north, in a cloud with flashes of fire and bright lights all around. The Lord looks like glowing metal in the midst of the fire, and there are four living creatures around the Lord, each with the face of a man and a lion, a bull, and an eagle. They have calves' feet and wings on their four sides. Below, he sees wheels with wheels in the middle of wheels, and when the creatures move, they move in straight directions, and the wheels turn in that direction. Their wings make the sound of the mighty raging waters, like the voice of the Almighty. And over their heads, he can see a throne with the figure of a man on it. He tells Ezekiel to stand up so he can speak with him, and Ezekiel stands up. And he speaks with Ezekiel about what is going on with his people, the nation of Israel. He says, Ezekiel, neither fear nor fear their words, the words of Israel. Though thistles and thorns are with you and you sit on scorpions, neither fear Israel's words nor be dismayed at their presence. For they are a rebellious house. But you shall speak my words to them, whether they listen to you or not, for they are rebellious. Now you, Ezekiel, listen to what I am speaking to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I am giving to you. And so the Lord hands Ezekiel a scroll, and it is written on in the front and the back. And so he says, eat this scroll and go, and then speak to the house of Israel. So Ezekiel opens his mouth, and the Lord feeds him the scroll, and it is as sweet as honey. And then the Lord says to Ezekiel, go to the exiles, to the sons of your people, and to speak to them and tell them whether they listen or not. Then the Spirit lifts up Ezekiel, and he can hear this great rumbling sound behind him. And the sound is saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord in his place. And the sound of the wings of those living beings touching one another, and the sound of the wheels beside them, even a great rumbling sound is heard. So the Spirit lifts Ezekiel up, and he takes him away, and Ezekiel goes out embittered in the rage of the Spirit, and the hand of the Lord is strong upon Ezekiel. Now Ezekiel sits by the river Chebar for 7 days, where the exiles are living. And at the end of the 7 days, the Lord tells Ezekiel that he has appointed him to be the Lord's watchman. Then the Lord warns Ezekiel, telling him, if I tell you to tell someone that they're surely going to die, and you do not go tell him that, then when they die, his blood is going to be on your hands, Ezekiel, and you will die for that penalty too. Now, when I tell you to go warn them and say, you will surely die, and you go tell him, and he doesn't turn from his ways, then he is still going to die, but you have committed no sin, Ezekiel, and you will not be punished for that. Then he says, go, Ezekiel, shut yourself up in your house, and they will put ropes on you and bind you up in them so that you cannot go in and out. And I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth so that you will be mute, and you will not be able to speak to a man or rebuke him unless I open your mouth. And when I open your mouth, you will tell them what I have told you to tell them. If you're not going to tell them what I've told you to tell them, then I will not open your mouth, because they are a rebellious house and need to hear what I have to say to them. The Lord tells Ezekiel to go get a brick. Go get a brick and inscribe on that brick the name Jerusalem. And he says, then I want you to play a game with it. I want you to lay siege against it. I want you to build a wall against it. I want you to raise up a ramp and pitch camps and place battering rams against that brick that has the name Jerusalem upon it. For I am going to lay siege against the house of Israel and against Jerusalem, and this is a sign to them. Then I want you to lay down on your left side, and I want you to lay down there for the number of days corresponding to the years of Israel's iniquity, which were 390 years. So I want you to lay down on your left side for 390 days. And when you've completed that, I want you to turn over onto your right side, and I want you to lay on that side for the time of the iniquity of the southern kingdom for 40 days, one day for each year. Then I want you to set your face as a siege against Jerusalem and prophesy against it. But as for you, Ezekiel, while you're doing this, I want you to take barley and wheat and beans and lentils and meal and smelt, and I want you to put them in a vessel, and I want you to cook it over the dung of human waste. For the sons of Israel have eaten unclean bread among the nations where I have banished them. I want you to eat this while you're laying on your right side and on your left side. And Ezekiel cries out to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, behold, I have never been defiled. For from my mouth until now I have never eaten what died of itself or what was torn by beast, nor has any unclean meat or anything like that ever entered in my mouth. So the Lord tells him that he can use the dung of cow instead of human dung to cook the meal over and to prepare the bread. The Lord tells Ezekiel to take a sharp sword and to use it like a razor to shave his head and his beard. He tells him to take the hair and put it in scales and divide it into thirds. One third of it he is to burn in the fire in the center of the city. Another third he's to take and to strike it with the sword all around that city. And that's the city of Jerusalem, that the name of Jerusalem is on the brick. He's still playing this game. And then he says, I want you to scatter the other third of the hair into the wind. And I want you to know that when you scatter it into the wind, I will be unsheathed behind you with a sword. So he's using this brick that's got the name Jerusalem on it. And the Lord says to him, I have set her at the center of the nations with lands all around her. But she is a rebellious nation because she has rebelled against my ordinances. Therefore, their fathers will eat their sons when the siege occurs. And the sons will eat their fathers when the siege occurs. For I will execute judgment on Jerusalem and scatter all the remnant to every wind. One third will die by the plague or be consumed by famine. One third will fall by the sword, and one third will be scattered to every wind, with the sword of the Lord unsheathed behind them.